Let's pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. It occurs to me that for a bunch of us who come to church here, one of the main things we're doing is trying to figure out why the bad things in our life are happening, or what's the purpose behind them, or who caused them, or something along those lines. A lot of us, I mean, big chunks of your life go pretty smoothly, and we come to church here, and it's nice, and we worship God, and everything's pretty comfortable, maybe even a tad boring. But every once in a while, something bad, I mean really bad, will happen, or something just sort of bad will happen. And at that point, church becomes less an act of devotion, an act of service, and more a cry of desperation for meaning or for purpose. When bad things happen to us, and I could try to list off all the bad things that are happening to all of us who are in the room right now, and I couldn't possibly get to all of them, but almost all of you, having reached a certain age, and some of you who are even really young, there are things in your life which are dividing lines, bad things that have happened, that have altered you, that have changed you. When those things happen, we ask the question, a lot of times we ask the question, why? What caused this? And I know that when you get really sick, that asking the question, why did this happen, doesn't really make you feel physically better. But there's a little amount of control that we can get over it by saying, okay, I know why this happened to me. When you lose a friend that's real close to you, when you have a falling out with your family, when you lose your job, things like that, if you can evaluate and if you can say, oh, I know why this happened, you can get your mind wrapped around it at least. There's a certain amount of comfort and even control there in that. There's two options, too, that we have when we set our mind on something really bad that's happening and we ask ourselves, why is this happening? One of the options is that bad things are human caused. We all know this is true, right? I lost my friends because I'm a jerk. I had a falling out with my family because they're mean, and maybe I'm mean too. I lost my job because the economy went bad. I got sick because I was around radiation because of my work, or because I smoked too much, or things like that. You can put your finger on it. You can say, this is human caused. And even things that there aren't direct connections to, we all agree as Christians, or at least most of us agree, that it's because of the brokenness that we as sinners have introduced into the world. You know, maybe it's not your fault that you had a falling out with your children. Maybe it's completely their fault. But you understand that in a sinful world, people have fallings out. Maybe you lost your job and you didn't do anything wrong. This is what happens in a sinful world. But then you're going to start to think, okay, so where is God in that? I understand that, but I'm a Christian, and I like to think that God helps us out in times like that. I mean, I know that God makes me feel better. I found out that I'm really sick, and God gives me comfort that he loves me and that I'm going to go to heaven someday and things like that. Or there's a better job waiting for me or things like that. But isn't he supposed to do something? So the first option is that problems are human caused. The second option is that problems are God caused. And after all, we say these words a lot to each other. God's in charge of everything. Nothing happens outside of God's control, we say to each other. And it's nice and easy to say that to somebody when something moderately bad happens. You get in a mild car wreck, and you're okay, but you're dinged up, and the car's worse for wear. God's in charge of everything, and he took care of me the whole time. What about when you get the news that you have terminal cancer? That's something different. Saying something like, well, God's in charge of everything, then sounds like there's this cruel assassin up in the sky that's got his target on you. What do we do with God then? That doesn't sound like the God that we're very comfortable with. Or even the God that we understand from the Bible, the God of love and grace and mercy and kindness. What do we do with that God? And so we bounce back and forth in our heads between problems are human caused, or where's God in all this, or problem, you know, God's in charge of everything, but that doesn't sound like him because we usually think of him as being kind and loving. Joseph has the same thing going on. He has to process the same sort of things. Pastor Adel read the story of part of the story of Joseph from Genesis, in part of Genesis. Most of you know the story of Joseph. I'll rehash it real quickly. Joseph is a little bit of a jerk. He's kind of arrogant, and he flaunts it in front of his brothers, and his brothers decide that they can't take it anymore. And they basically vote on one of two plans. One, we're going to kill him, or two, we're going to sell him into slavery. And fortunately for Joseph, that's a weird thing to say. Fortunately for Joseph, he gets sold into slavery. Once in slavery, he gets accused of raping his master's wife, and he's thrown in prison. But through circumstances that aren't entirely in his control, God rescues him out of that and puts him in charge of food provisions in the country of Egypt, and he manages to save a civilization from disaster and many other people as well. At the end of this story, his brothers show up. And when he's reconciled to his brothers and everybody's warm reunion, and he says, "It's okay, I forgive you," and they all smile and hug each other and feel better about themselves. And time goes on, and then Dad dies. And then the brothers are sure that once Dad has died, now Joseph's going to get his revenge on us. And so they come to Joseph and they beg him basically for their lives. They say, "Our dad said before he died that we're supposed to tell you that you're not allowed to kill us." And Joseph at that point says, and I'm going to read from Genesis 50 again. The brothers say, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, here's Joseph's response. "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? Do I have the right to pass death sentence on you? I can't do that. I can't judge your sin. I myself am a sinner. I'm not in the place of God. I can't. What you did was wrong, but I can't pass that sort of judgment on you. I will not kill you. As for you," we're going to come back to this line in just a second, "you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I'll provide for you and your little ones." And thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Let's think for a second about that phrase. And now, you know, not just thinking about Joseph, but thinking about you and your particular situation. "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." This is a remarkable thing to say. And on the surface, it's the kind of thing that we Christians can just absorb. You know, it sounds sort of pious and Christianly. But when you actually look at it, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why do bad things happen to you? Why is it that you lost your job? Why is it that you've lost your friend, for instance? Why is it that you get sick? "You meant it for evil against me," Joseph says. Bad things happen to us because of sin and brokenness. Bad things happen because people do bad things. Now, I'm not saying that your specific sickness is a result of any definite sin, but it is a result of sin in general. It is a result of living in a broken world. And we have to look around and we have to say that these bad things happen because people do bad things. But that's not all that Joseph says. He also says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." So, listen, I mean, this is kind of difficult. I think this is difficult. So, pay attention with me, if you will, for just a second. There's one event. Was that event a result of sin or a result of God's divine plan to take care of Joseph and his people? And Joseph looks at the exact same event and says that on the one hand, you meant it for evil. You sinned by doing this. But on the other hand, God was causing that same event. God was causing that same event for his own glory. Now, this actually makes no philosophical sense. How can one event be caused as a result of sin, but the same event be caused as well by God wanting to do good for his own glory? This is exactly what Joseph says. His brothers sold him into slavery. And now one of his brothers might raise their hand and say, "So what we did wasn't sinful, right, Joseph? What we did was good because God meant it for good." And Joseph's going to say, "No, it's sinful. You actually meant it for evil. You meant it to do harm. But God meant it to do good." Okay, another brother raises his hand. "So if it's sinful, then that means that God causes sin." No, Joseph says again, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good, but you meant it for evil. God will not wear your sin." 2 points I want to make about this real quick. This is hard to understand. It's only because it's non-understandable. There are some things in the Bible that make no sense, and you just believe them because the Bible teaches them. Like the Trinity, for instance. It doesn't make any sense that there's one God, but that God is made up of three persons. But you know it's true because the Bible teaches that there's only one God. But the Bible also teaches that God is three persons. It doesn't make any sense that Jesus is both completely 100% human and completely 100% divine. But you as Christians know that this is true, even though it's bad math. You know that it's true because the Bible teaches that Jesus is completely human and completely divine. This also makes no sense mathematically, but if you will believe it, it will make perfect sense of your life and your existence and your pain. Things happen because of sin and because of brokenness. This is undeniable. Every little bad thing, tiny bad things, moderately bad things, horribly bad things, happen as a result of brokenness and sin. But at the same time, every single little thing that happens is happening because God has ordained it to bring about his kingdom and your good and his glory. And I don't know how those make sense together, but they are in Scripture. And if you believe them and hold on to them, there will be great comfort to you. If you imagine for a second that, you know, God is right here, and the enemy and evil are right here, and they're fighting each other, and there's this tug of war, there's your sinful decisions and your family and your friends' sinful decisions, and God's coming back and he's trying to fight against it, but the sinful decisions keep pushing him back. This is actually not the way reality works. There are sinful decisions that they made, but God's love, God's power, God's grace, God's sovereignty is so huge that it can absorb all of these things, use them within his purposes for his glory. Your cancer, your loneliness, your broken and fractured relationships, your mental problems, your physical problems, all of these things God has ordained, and they are for good, and they are for his glory. They are at the same time sinful and broken and horrible. But again, at the same time, they are beautiful and they are glorious. How? It works like this. God is not sitting at the game board pushing you around into little horrible situations. God himself is participating in this. God didn't just ordain your sickness and your loneliness. He ordained his own son's sickness, his own son's loneliness, his own son's broken body on the cross. Both at the same time, the most depraved, the most sinful, dark event in human history, and simultaneously, in God's sovereign plan, the most glorious, beautiful, loving, gracious event in human history. And so we pray that God would forgive our sins. We pray that God would forgive the sins of those around us. We pray that God would heal us, either now or on the last day of the sicknesses that beset us. And at the same time, we trust him that he's using all these things out of his love. He's using all these things for his kingdom, for his glory, and for our good. Amen.